this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you continue to worship with us and sing in Christ alone? You remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the words that you see before you on the screen. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
And as you're being seated, if you would, please move to the center. There are open seats in the aisles or in the rows. I can see them, and we have people standing in the back who are in need of seats. So if there is space in your section, please move to the center as an act of hospitality and make room for people who are still coming in. Thank you. Wanted to take a moment to tell you that each Sunday at Trinity, we participate in what we call a mission box offering, which is giving over and above our tithes and offerings that is used to support ministry partners here in Gainesville, around our country, and around the world. And this morning's mission box will support the continuation of a partnership we have with Zoe. And we have a short video to tell you more about it.
Did you know that you can help more by doing less? By skipping out on a few snacks, you can provide a child living in poverty a way to boil water and stay healthy. Or by passing on a single round of golf, you can help an orphan establish a source of income for years to come. The truth is that a couple of dollars may not make a big difference in our lives, but they can make a world of difference in the lives of children in need. Every day, Zoe does just that for vulnerable children struggling in poverty. Zoe helps children grow food, start businesses, and attend school so that in 3 short years, they are completely self-reliant. Zoe invites you to do less today to help children more. Purchase gifts that help to honor your friends and loved ones. See how far even a small gift can go. With $10, a pair of rabbits will quickly become more rabbits, generating income for an orphan in the Zoe program. $10 can also get a group of more than 60 children enough maize seed to start their own farm. $25 buys a pair of chickens that can start a flock, with each hen laying nearly 200 eggs per year. The list goes on. And with Zoe, each of these gifts is used to help children help themselves. We can all help so much more just by doing a little less. For more information on Zoe and gifts that help, visit us online at zoehelps.org. Zoe, helping children to never need charity again.
So sponsoring a community is a 3-year commitment that costs $8,000 per year. And the community that you see on the screen is the community which we sponsored beginning with last year's Easter Mission Box offering, which exceeded our goal of $8,000 per year. So we know that that is possible this morning, and we'd like to raise the second year's funding for this partnership that we have with these children in Rwanda, who, thanks to your generosity and partnership, now have a future filled with possibilities and hope. So we invite you to please give generously at any of the Mission Box locations. There are 5 of them. Those are the wooden boxes that are about this high that you see as you leave this morning. So we thank you very, very much. And before we move on to the prayer, I just want to say that there are still a lot of seats here in the front row. I have to sit there, otherwise I probably wouldn't, but there is an entire front row right here for those of you who are still standing in the back, so don't be shy, come and please make yourselves at home. So we turn now from the sharing of our resources to support Zoe to the sharing of our prayers together, and I know that we have all gathered this Easter morning, having come from different spaces and places around our city with different joys and celebrations that we have on our hearts. And so as we enter into this time of prayer, I will begin with silence so that you might speak to God in the quiet of your heart about those things. But let us unite our hearts and go to God in prayer. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise you this Easter morning. For empty tombs, thank you. her disciples running with good news. Thank you for your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected. Thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. And so into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those who are struggling with illness, those in despair from grief, and those struggling with the breakdown of relationships. May the risen Christ shine upon them. Into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life. May the risen Christ shine upon them. And into the light-filled hope of Easter, we bring ourselves. Our private struggles, the yearnings of our hearts, our hidden dreams, our unfulfilled potential. May the risen Christ shine upon us. Heavenly Father, we offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is risen from the dead and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you all to rise as you are able and to sing with us, "I Will Rise." And as we do, may the hope and the power of the resurrection wash over you. And if you feel inclined, I invite you to turn your palms towards heaven. It can be low, it can be halfway, or it can be up. But just let the power of the resurrection wash over you.
There's a peace that comes and goes through my heart and flesh they fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has
we have the privilege now to offer ourselves and our gifts back to God for the sake of the mission of our church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So as we prepare to worship God with our offering, let us pray. Gracious God, as we give back to you from what you first gave to us, let us give not out of obligation, but from the heart. Let our gifts be seeds for the work of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, seeds that will sprout an abundance of justice and hope for all that is necessary for life, for our sisters and brothers here at Trinity, in Gainesville, and around the world. Therefore, we pray your blessing upon our tithes and offerings, upon us, and those whose lives will benefit from these gifts. In faith and hope we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Delaney, and Sunlight will be performing Ocean Floor by Audio Adrenaline. So often we forget about how unfailing God's love is for us. We get bogged down in all the mistakes that we make and carry this burden with us. Our sins can become a stone that becomes heavier and heavier the longer we try to keep holding it ourselves. But through God's grace, we can lay these burdens down. He even says that we can throw out our sins to be forgiven and forgotten. God allows us to do this no matter how large the mistake or how many we have made. Micah 7:19 says, "Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depth of the ocean." This song is a beautiful reminder of God's unfailing forgiveness. Imagine taking that stone that you have been holding for so long, throw it into the deep, dark, large, powerful ocean that we cannot even comprehend its vastness when we stand on its edge. Any stone you throw into that ocean will not matter anymore. Any sin you've made, God will take away and erase it. This is why Easter is so important. It reminds us of how powerful and amazing God really is, and how much He is able to throw away our many sins and make the sacrifice He was willing to give for us. Now singing is Jasmine Gabriel and Sunlight.
Forgotten, they're on the awesome. What a great reminder of the vastness of God's love. Thank you, Julianne and Sunlight, for that. Appreciate that very much. Beautiful. And it is good news, isn't it? But did you notice the scripture reading from Mark a little earlier this morning? Maybe it sounded a little different from what you're accustomed to hearing. You know, Matthew and Luke and John all tell us about resurrection appearances and the excitement and the enthusiasm and the joy. And Mark leaves us hanging with the women running terrified and amazed from the tomb and saying nothing to anyone. What is up with that? Well, hang on to that. We'll get there a little bit later. But what we get for now is another passage that, rather than coming from the Gospels, comes from the Apostle Paul, who was writing to the Corinthian church probably about 20 to 25 years after the date that we come to remember today of the resurrection. And near the end of that letter, he turns to the most important matter of all, the center of the good news of the gospel. And so I invite you to follow along now as I read that for us from chapter 15. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as if I were born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace has not been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Last spring, on the 21st of May, a sellout crowd gathered for the final performance of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. For 146 years, this circus had grown and had entertained thousands and thousands, millions of people for that matter. For 146 years, marquee signs all across the world had called out to the crowds to come because now appearing was the greatest show on earth. So I imagine that at least some of you, as Catherine and I did earlier this year, went to see the movie The Greatest Showman when it came out in late 2017. The movie that tells loosely the story of P.T. Barnum, the man who was the first to take that traveling circus on the road and then linked up with Bailey and then Barnum and Bailey ultimately with the Ringling Brothers. Now, P.T. Barnum in his day was known as a purveyor of great hoaxes. He perpetrated some of the most magnificent hoaxes of all kinds and profited greatly from them. But his legacy also surely includes launching a tradition that thrilled kids and their families for generations. they would come. And under the big top, you all have fond memories of this as well, I'm sure many of you. You would come and you would see amazing, spectacular feats, some seemingly impossible. In fact, they were probably those kinds of things that you felt like you had to see it to believe it. There's a line in the title track from the movie, The Greatest Show, and the line says, "Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show." Well, today is Easter Sunday. And today, like every Easter Sunday that came before it, we gather as the church to remember the story of the most impossible of all things coming true. We remember Jesus, the one who just a week earlier rode into the city humble and lowly on a donkey, and rode in to the shouts of hosannas from the crowds. Jesus, who later in the week his fans left him, and instead of crying hosanna, they cried crucify him. Jesus, who gathered with his disciples that week in an upper room to celebrate the Passover, and in that moment shared with them a meal that would become their primary way to remember him. Jesus, who was taken from the garden where he had just finished praying like a criminal. Jesus, who was dragged before Pilate and was mocked and cursed. Jesus, who was taken out into the courtyard where all could observe as soldiers stripped him and beat him and bruised him. Jesus, who was led up the hill to a place where they would hang him from a cross, crucifying him. Jesus, whose body was then taken down and carefully and lovingly put in a grave by Joseph of Arimathea, and the stone was rolled in front. This Jesus, on this day, we celebrate, was no longer in the tomb when those who went to check on the body went that Easter morning. Jesus had been raised. Now, if event promoters had been around, you can bet that they would have been trying to get in on the action at this point. Ladies and gentlemen, now appearing, Jesus in the upper room, Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Jesus at the Tiberias beach, Jesus who was dead is now alive. And some would have said that you had to see it to believe it. Remember Thomas? Poor Thomas, who wasn't there when Jesus first came into the room again and met with the disciples and showed himself to them. And so when Thomas got back from whatever errand he had been running and the disciples tried to describe it to him, he said, "No, I will not believe it unless I see it for myself. Unless I can touch him, unless I can put my hands in his wounds, I will not believe this." But what about the rest of us? What about those of us who come along so many centuries later? Well, today's scripture is actually the oldest account in the Bible that we have of the core of the Christian message. Paul begins in this passage, which was written some 20 or 30 years before the first of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John was put down. Paul begins in his letter to the Corinthians, "I passed on to you as most important what I had received, that Jesus died that Jesus was buried and that Jesus has been raised. For Paul, the resurrection was an essential element of faith and of that core teaching from the very beginning. In fact, Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. You know, it really is perfect that Easter falls on April Fool's Day this year. Because if this story is not true, then it is the most magnificent April Fool's hoax of all time. Easter Sunday offers us no middle ground on who Jesus is. We are either all in or we are all out. John Updike, a number of years ago, wrote a poem, Seven Stanzas at Easter, and he conveys this very idea in his words. Listen to the first few verses. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each saw spring recurrent. It was not as the spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was his flesh, ours. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door of resurrection. Updike's poem reminds us that every analogy, every image, every illustration that we attempt to use will fall short of capturing the full weight and impact of resurrection. And then, having recited the core of the message in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he turns to the evidence. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus has been raised. Oh, and Jesus appeared. And Paul gives us four accounts of those appearances. First to Peter, Cephas. Then to the 12, which is interesting, isn't it? Because Judas had betrayed him, and yet Paul tells us that Jesus comes back and appears to the 12. And then to the 500 brothers and sisters. And then, did you notice who Paul tells us about next? Himself. Even though Paul was not there on that Easter morning, even though he wasn't a part of the inner circle, Paul, for some years after that, was still persecuting the early church. But Paul speaks of his own encounter. And he says this, it is as if I were born at the wrong time. And yet, Jesus appears to him also. And we know from Paul's story and from Peter's and from the other apostles and from those who have borne powerful witness over the generations, that it's not just the appearances that matter, but it's the change that happens as a result of the appearances. One theologian puts it this way, that in that appearance, in that encounter with Jesus, one receives a new center of existence, a new power for living, a new perspective from which to view all things. Paul's inclusion in the list of those to whom Jesus appeared makes room for us to include ourselves and our stories as well. As Tom Oden puts it, resurrection is a currently experienced interpersonal encounter. It's not just some event that happened in the past. It's not just something that we remember. Resurrection is now. Jesus keeps showing up. And when he does, he shows no partiality. People of all types and all backgrounds and all ages keep having encounters. It makes me think of another line from that song in The Greatest Showman. Come one, come all. You hear the call to anyone who is searching for a way to break free. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He is here in plain view. He is here in the community gathered to remember the great love of God as revealed through Him. He is here as we come to the table. We meet Him in the bread and in the cup. We encounter Him as we fall on our knees and offer our prayers up to Him. And we see Him as we rise and go out from this place into a world filled with faces that show us to Him and invite us to love and serve as we have been loved and served. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is indeed now appearing. Don't miss it. Because God wants everybody to be in on the party. And that is no April Fool's. Will you pray with me? Oh God, how amazing and indescribable it is that you would reveal your love through coming among us and offering yourself for us. As Christ has been raised, so may you raise us to new life even now, that having encountered the wonder of your grace, we would live and share our own stories as you have given them to us. Amen.
We come to this table to remember and to celebrate God's great love. It is right and good in every time and in every place to give thanks to the living God. Time and again, God draws us to this place to inspire us, to feed us, to save us. Even when our love fails and we turn away from God, God's love remains steadfast and true. God created all of creation and called it good. And God created us and called us to proclaim that goodness to all. And then, in the fullness of time, God appeared in Jesus Christ, who walked in the way of life that we might follow, revealing God's love and radiating God's life. Jesus said, come one, come all. He taught all those who would listen. He healed those who believed in Him. He offered a good word of forgiveness and grace. He sought all those who would come to Him. It was at this table that He issued the invitation for us to come together
to share together and to remember together. And then to go and share that good news with others, that Jesus Christ is now appearing. And so we gather at this table to celebrate that and to remember that on the night before he died, Jesus gave thanks to God the Father, broke the bread, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and poured it and gave thanks to God. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come as Easter people to proclaim the good news that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Say that with me. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, your people, O God, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make us those who love others and share your word. Make us healers and bestowers of grace. Make us one body in Jesus Christ. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and for all time. And now we pray with the confidence in your love and resurrection as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements at the altar rail. As the servers make their way to their stations, let me remind you that in the Methodist Church and here in Trinity, the table is a place where everyone is welcome. It's a place where we all are invited to come and to seek Christ and his forgiveness and grace in our lives. So we invite you to come to the station that's in front of your section. You'll come out to the left of your row and come forward and receive by intinction. That means you'll cup your hands and be given a piece of bread, and then you'll take that bread and dip it into the cup. Then you'll return to your seats by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer. And there's gluten-free on either side. Please just ask servers up at the front, and we would be happy to serve you. You're also welcome to remain seated and just come forward a row at a time. As the line decreases, please come and receive this tangible gift of God's grace and love in your life. May you know it. May Jesus appear to you so that you will receive that love and goodness. Please come. Everything's ready.
Praise the Lord, who paid my debt and raised.
that resurrection door and then go beyond the door to embody the power of the resurrection in our every fiber. Will you stand with us as we sing our final hymn, Christ is Risen.
What if Mark stopped the gospel the way he did so that we had to all end it with our own stories, with our own versions of the encounters that we have had and are having? I invite you to go out from this place today in the strength of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, so that all might come to know the love of God. Amen.